In our in Christian living, there's a lot of pressure, I feel like, to be a good person, right? And there's a lot of pressure to do good things. And it's funny, wherever you go in the world, you see that you meet the same type of Christians. You meet those who've just who live in sin, and they've just given themselves to it, and there's no victory. And then you meet the people who it seems like they're trying and they're trying and they're doing and they're doing, but their lives aren't that much better than the sinners. You know what I mean? They've got no joy. They got no peace. And man, they think that they can earn God's approval. They could just work a little bit harder. And it's funny, we went to Peru. It's the same, man. It's not just an American thing. It's not just a certain denomination. It's all people within us. There is some great need to go after God's approval. But the deal is that you and I can never earn God's approval in our own effort. We can never earn healing in our own effort. We can never receive a gift from God in our own effort. That's the cross, right? That's why he had to come, is because we couldn't earn it on our own. And so there, I see that people really struggle to receive from God because they think they have to earn something, or because they think they're a big sinner. There's two sides to it. They don't understand that they're righteous, always and forever. Righteousness is this, that God approves of you, and he is forever and always pleased with you. Now, some people don't like it when you preach that way, because they think that what I'm saying is that God's pleased with everything you're doing. I'm not necessarily saying that. What I am saying is that God is pleased with you today, right here, right now, regardless of what you've done. And you wonder, how could that be? The cross. That's how it could be. That's what it was all about. And so I want to read for you a scripture in Philippians that really helps me, and I hope it will help you today, all right? And really, righteousness, the revelation of that has really changed my life. I think growing up as a pastor's kid, it's very easy to just get into this whole, I got to do more for God to be pleased with me. Or I got to look good so you guys don't know what's really going on with me, right? Did anybody have that thought this morning when they were coming to church? Nobody can know what's really going on with Harry Judd, because if they find out, it would not be good for me, not be good for my reputation. But this verse right here in Philippians 2 really helps me, really encourages me, okay? It's in verse 12. And verse 12 is going to scare you a little bit, but then it'll get good in verse 13. It says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." How many of you guys like that verse? Right here? Anyone? I see a hand in the back. Okay, yeah, we got one. This is a scary verse, right? It says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." And I think there is a part of the body of Christ, man, they just hold on to this, right? They are working out their salvation with fear and trembling. And we come to church and we hear condemnation just preached, and it just makes us happy because we're working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Then there's another part of the body of Christ who really just chooses not to read this verse, because it's too scary, right? And how could a loving God ever, make us work out our own salvation with fear and trembling? Well, I'm going to help both sides today. Maybe you're in one of those camps. I'm going to help you out today. Is that okay? Because a lot of times we read the Bible and we only read one verse. And we just take that and we just take it out of context. And we have a whole, denomination off of one verse. But we don't read the verse after. So let's read the verse after. It says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." It is God. So it says that we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And then it says this, God is working in you. So salvation is being worked out in you, and you yield to it. You yield because God is working in you, and he's giving you new desires. He's pleased with you, and then he's helping you, empowering you to do what pleases him. So you and I no longer have to worry about every day, am I pleasing to God? Is God pleased with me today? He's pleased with you. Well, in the stuff I'm doing, I don't know if it's pleasing God. Well, this verse right here says, if you just keep yielding to righteousness, if you keep letting righteousness work in you, that you'll begin to desire to do what's good and to do what's pleasing. Now, you guys aren't as excited as I am about this. But this really helps me because for so long, I tried to be pleasing to God. I tried to make myself want to do good. But I never could. Is it just me? Have we ever tried to make ourselves, well, I'm just not going to think that thought, or I'm just not going to say that, or I'm just, you know, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm just going to stop today. From here on out, I'm done. And then what happens? Tomorrow you wake up and you're right back in it. Is it just me? And then we come to church and feel condemned. Well, I've got this going on and I've got all these skeletons in my closet and nobody can know about it because if they found out, I can't come back. And little do we know that if we yield to righteousness, this truth that God is pleased with you, that He approves of you today, who you are right now, then He will change your desires and then you'll begin to do good works. I'll show you it again. You say, well, that's just one scripture, Harry. Well, let's go to 2 Timothy. Maybe you've never read these scriptures before, but I'm looking for it, man. I'm reading this Bible looking for this kind of stuff because this is the kind of stuff that changes us. I think there's a lot of people today that are in church feeling condemned. I'm not saying in Good News Church, but just out there feeling condemned. And they're wondering, has God forgot about them? And He hasn't. He hasn't forgotten about you or anyone out there. And they don't realize that when you make the decision to go after God, you take a step towards Him. He always meets you. But they're thinking that God's just going to meet you. That you're just going to be laying there and you're just going to get something. But you have to take a step. What is your step? Yielding. And later we're going to talk about how you yield, okay? But I'll show you again here. This yielding thing, 2 Timothy 2:15. This is Paul writing to Timothy. And Timothy, man, this is a crazy dude. He's probably a little bit older than me, but he's pastoring. Some people say 15, 20, 50,000 people. Crazy. And this is what Paul writes to him in 2 Timothy 2:15. He says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you look at this part, be diligent, this word present, another way if we go in the Greek, another way we can look at this word is yield. Be diligent to yield yourself approved to God. I already talked about approval to God, righteousness. Be diligent to yield yourself to God's righteousness. And what happens? A worker who isn't ashamed and you're able to rightly divide the word. See, I read that the whole kingdom is built on righteousness, that all of this whole thing is built on you and me being right with God, you and me being approved by God. And if I could just be diligent to present myself to that righteousness every day, present myself to it, yield myself to it, then what would happen? I would become a worker who would never, ever, ever need to be ashamed. I will never be held accountable for my sin. I will never, ever stand before God and Him read a list of everything I've done wrong. So there's no need for me to be ashamed ever. I see that doesn't... Never. Because if I just diligently yield myself to righteousness, He'll change my desires. He'll work in me to do what's good and pleasing to Him. And then on the day of judgment, I don't ever, ever have to worry about God bringing up my sin, bringing up what's wrong, bringing up where I missed it. Never. That is the cross. That's why He came. That's what it was about. Amen. This is good. This is good. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5. I'm sorry, I don't have any jokes for you today. I didn't have any time to write them out before service. So, you know, had a couple of knock-knock jokes I was thinking of, but man, they were terrible. So, 2 Corinthians 5, and let's start in 17. And we're going to get to something. We're going to do all this, and we're going to get to your body being healed today. We're going to do all this and get to you receiving from God. Because that's my heart, is if you could learn how to yield to righteousness, you don't have to come to church to receive from God. You can receive from God tomorrow morning on the way to work. You can receive from God in the shower. We in here at Good News Church want to teach you this stuff, not so you keep coming back here, but so that out there, you're changed and you're changing others' lives. So if you could just learn how to yield to righteousness every day, man, it would change things. And let's look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. It says, and if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Is anyone in here and in Christ today? We got some hands, yeah? Woo! What about you in the back over there? You guys in Christ? If you're in Christ today, what does it say? You are a new creation. It doesn't say you might be a new creation. One day you'll be a new creation. When you get to heaven, you'll be a new creation. It says now, right now, today, if you're in Christ, you are a new creation. Woo! Now, it's tough enough to believe that for me, and then I look at you guys, and it's tough for me to believe that for you. But man, as I realize that I'm a new creation, I realize that the people around me are new creations too. So I don't treat you guys like sinners anymore, because you're not. You're new creations. We're all new creations if we're in Christ. That's good news today. You're a good news church. You're a new creation today if you're in Christ. And if you aren't in Christ, it's really simple. You just believe, receive the gift, bam, you're in Christ. So if you're in Christ today, you're a new creation. Then it says this, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Not just a couple of things, not just, you know, this and that. Well, I quit cussing and blah, blah, blah. But no, all things. Say all things. All things have become new. Guys, I've been speaking with a translator for a week. So now I have the freedom just to talk. I don't have to wait for someone to translate. So it's just coming out. You know what I'm saying? So I'm sorry. We might need a translator up here to interpret all of this in a bit. But it's just coming out of me. All things. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. See, if we all understood that, then we would just, the whole sin thing would just be done away with. And here we are. We're just living for righteousness. Every day I just go around doing good because that's who I am. All that old bad stuff, it's in the garbage. It's dead and gone. It was buried at the tomb. And you and I, let's not go resurrected, all right? I see a lot of us, we're supposed to be raising the dead. We're supposed to be raising, you know, there's people that are spiritually dead. We're supposed to go around and help resurrect them. There's people that's physically dead that one day, hopefully you and I in here will be raising those from the dead. But you and I spend so much time raising our dead sin from the dead all the time, right? And we do it because we feel condemned. We do it because we think that's who we really are. But Paul says, that's not who you are anymore. That stuff is dead. You're a new creation. The old things, they've passed away. All right? So here at Good News Church, we love these scriptures, man. We love them, don't we? We preach them. I heard them preached over and over as a little kid. And here I am today sharing them. And they're still good. In verse 18, it talks about that we're ministers of reconciliation. So when you realize that you have a new identity, you can give life to the world around you. You can actually do good for people. Then when the old man has died and you've become new, man, you can just show the world Jesus. And then it says you can become an ambassador for Christ. And then you can plead with people. Be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. I met a guy from Romania. And he grew up, you know, under communist regime. He grew up under communist regime. Sorry, having trouble with that word. And he grew up and he told me all we knew to do growing up was just to reason everything, that everything was math, everything was science, and there was no God. And I sat there and listened to this guy talk, and then I began to share with him this truth right here. Now, he doesn't believe really in God or in Jesus. I think he wants to, but it's just so difficult for him because it's just been pounded in his head, you know, that God isn't real and that you have to earn everything and that, you know, you have to reason life. And so, man, I just sat there and I pounded him the other direction. God loves you, man. You ever heard the story of the prodigal son? Man, God, that's how he looks at you. And you see that older brother? That's you. You need help. I was just pounding this guy, right? To the point he's just sitting there crying, you know? And it's funny, man, to have a message that just makes people cry, you know? And I don't like this, you know, I'm not trying to, like, make people cry. But, like, we have something that grips people so deep that their only response is to cry or to laugh. And that's exciting, man. And so this guy's just sitting there crying. And, I don't know really what to say to him. I don't really, you know, how to console him. But I just, man, this is what I believe in. You can choose to believe it. And he didn't necessarily believe it on that day. But, man, he left with some watery eyes. And God can work with that. God can work with some tears. And God can work with some laughter. And so today, maybe you've never heard this stuff before. Maybe you've always felt condemned for your sin. It's okay to cry. If you want to wail, it's okay, all right? you know, we'll wail with you. We'll cry with you. We'll weep with you. Because this stuff is so good in your whole life. If all you've ever heard is just doubt and condemnation, man, you hear a message of righteousness, changes you, brings joy, and not just tears. And so that's just a complete over there. We'll just leave that over there. Old things have passed away. And then let's go to verse 21. This is what I really wanted to get to. It says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." All right. Jesus became sin. He was cursed on the tree so that we could become something. We could become the very righteousness of God. So today, you right here sitting in these seats are the righteousness of God. You are approved of by God. There's no shame or guilt or fear or worry for you because you're the righteousness of God. And boy, doesn't that change everything. If we realize God was pleased with us, I no longer have to please him. Well, that just takes a great burden off of my shoulders, a great burden off my life. God is pleased with me today. I don't have to please him. And then if I find out he's pleased with me, then I don't have to please you, because the one who made all of us is pleased with me. So this just lifts big weight off of me, right? A big weight off of you. But there's this funny little thing you and I have to do. We all have to believe it. And I think that's the thing where we just don't, I don't really believe that, Harry. I don't really believe it. I mean, we didn't necessarily grow up in the communist regime, but we all grew up in a regime at our own house. We all went to school and were under a regime, right, of some sort. And so we all grew up with a mentality, and we think about ourselves a certain way, and we say things about ourselves. You can really tell it with what people say about themselves. It says out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you can tell what people think about themselves by what they say. And so it's sad. You talk to people and the things they say, you know, about them and about those around them, it just shows we didn't grow up necessarily believing in righteousness. But I have found that the word of righteousness, the force of righteousness, if I just yield to it, it gets in me and it begins to work through me. And so if I can just yield to it, and I use that word a lot, yield, what does that mean? Is I just submit myself, I surrender to it. You know, there's an image in the New Testament of a guy filled with all these demons, and it says that he comes and he worships Jesus. And I just imagine this. He just yields himself to Jesus. And when he does that, Jesus can work and all the demons are cast out. You see this over and over in scriptures. People that come to Jesus, they just yield to him and all the crap, all the junk is just cast out. Old things, they pass away, and behold, all things become new. So simply learning to yield, if I can just learn to yield to this righteousness, then he can work in me and change me, and then I can begin to do good. So I no longer focus on doing good. I no longer focus on, I've got to lay hands on the sick, and I got to preach the gospel, and I got to do this, and I got to do that, and I got to come to church on Sunday, and I got to go to prayer, and Grayson said they're meeting up every day, so I got to be here every day, and then outreach is coming up Saturday, so I got to try to be there. But then what we end up doing is, well, I can't do any of it, so I'm not going to try at all, and I'm not going to go ever, and I missed church last week, so I might as well not come back this week. When that is just not the point at all. At all. We've just missed it. It's righteousness. If you and I could just learn to yield to righteousness, man, oh man, that force would just get in us and it would just change things. And you would begin to do things and you're wondering, why am I doing this? I tell you guys all these funny stories. Every time I get up here, I tell you some story about somebody crying and I'm with them. And if you knew me, you would say, what? You would say, how? Because that's not me. And that's why I like to tell the story, because there's no glory in the flesh. That is, I don't know how to console people. That was not in the gene work up here. That did not get in my DNA. You know, Matt Judd, he can console some people, you know? I don't know if you've ever been consoled by him, but it's pretty great, right? But me, I don't like to be touched. I don't like to touch. I don't like to, you know, sharing emotion. No. So I tell you these stories about people crying because it's so funny to me, because it's not really even me, you know? It's not, or at least it's this, it's not the old man, that old regime that I grew up under and that how I always thought about that. It's nothing like that guy. This is some new guy who's found something who's like compassionate and bold, and who is this guy? And that's what righteousness does in you. You begin to look back at yourself and what am I doing? Sometimes you're in a situation, you're like, why am I doing this? This doesn't make any sense. This is stupid. This isn't me. But it is you. I'll give you another story about people crying. You guys want to hear it? Yeah? Yeah? So we're in Peru, and Lindsay and Coleman can attest to this, all right? So I have witnesses. And we were doing a service, and man, they all shared. They just rocked it, y'all. They killed it. And I might get them up in a minute and have them share some stuff, so y'all just be ready over there. But they got up. They were sharing to this church, and we were told to share about healing and about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So it's like a marathon service. You know, we're like two, 3 hours in, right? And we've already had all these people get healed. That woman that Coleman was talking about, 20 years, she was like this. And in a minute, God did that. None of us did that. I was surprised, to be honest with you, if I'm just being real. I was surprised. I saw her walk up, and I was like, no, not this. We're not right now. Come on. Come on, God. Just give us some knees or something, you know? And but that lady was healed. Not me. And I don't think Coleman, maybe not Coleman. Dios. And so, so that lady walks up. We had all these awesome things, right? And so we get to this point where we're baptizing people in the Holy Spirit. And Lindsay grabs some of the kids who had gotten baptized in the Holy Spirit the night before. And she's got them and teaching them what to do. It's really awesome. And I'm just sitting there watching. Like, look at the team. Look at everybody. This is great, right? And then, guys, people came up here and were getting baptized. And then people in the audience started speaking out in tongues. Like, I saw the look on their face. And I knew, like, they didn't want to come up. They didn't want this, really. But somehow, some way, they were all getting baptized in the Holy Spirit in the audience. Then we had a kid walk in from another church, and he was a Christian. He walks in, and he just starts speaking in tongues. And he's freaking out because he doesn't know what's happening. I didn't even know that happened, you know? And so we get to a place, and I hear this lady start yelling in tongues really loud. And in America, man, that stuff just freaks you out, right? You know, we can't be yelling in our services, right? We can't be having freedom up in here. And so this lady starts yelling out. And I think Lindsay and our other friend Jensen were praying for her, and they didn't know whether it was a demon or whether it was God. I don't know if you've ever been there. And so, but she just kept going. And, you know, 15, 20 minutes, this lady is just yelling in tongues, and you hear her crying and all this stuff. And so we've kind of wrapped up the service. Like I said, you know, we're 2.5 hours in, and I'm just flat worn out. That's just being real about ministry. You're just, I want to go home and sleep, you know? And so we get up there, and now I'm on the stage with Caleb, our friend, who's interpreting for me. And I have to close out the service, but there's a lady right here just yelling in tongues. So what do you do with that, you know? Like, you know, I'm just imagine that right here, this image, me right here, and there's a lady up here yelling in tongues. And nobody can stop her. What are we supposed to do? And so she's crying. And so I just take the opportunity to make it a teaching moment. I really don't know what I'm about to say or do, but I'm just like, hey, look at this lady. This is what you and I are supposed to be like out in our worlds with the gospel. That you and I cannot control it. It is like a river coming out of us, and we just cannot stop. So everywhere we go, hey, do you know Jesus? Hey, can I pray for you? Hey, I see this is going on. Do you need help? Look at this lady. This is what we're supposed to be like. Now, she's over there just babbling in tongues and freaking out. And everybody else looks a little freaked out. I'm not that freaked out, guys. I've been to India. All right? And so this lady, I saw some crazy stuff in India that I was freaked out in India, but then I got to pray, like, this is easy stuff. And so this lady, she's yelling. And so I think my little spiel, right, is going to just end it, and God's just going to, you know, help her, and she's just going to close her mouth and sit down. But you know what? She just kept going. So now what do you do, you know? That's a fun role, and I've got to close out the service. So I just set my mic down, and I walked down the steps. And this isn't me, guys. I already told you how I am. I went down, and I just hugged this lady. And she's just crying and yelling in tongues in my ear, but I'm just hugging her. And it was, you hear the whole crowd go, aw. But it wasn't me, guys. And then this lady, I just kind of back off her, and I say, ma'am, you can control this. You know, you really can. And let's just take some deep breaths. And you just see, like, this look of, like, relief on her face, you know, because she's just having this dramatic experience with God. And then she just stops for a second, and then she starts yelling out in tongues again. I'm just like, ma'am, you know, we can control it. And then she stopped, and we just sat her back down in the seat. Then you just go back up, and we just end the service. Now, I got to tell you something, guys. I did not plan that. I did not write that down in my notes. Here's how you deal with this situation, blah, blah. It just came out of me. And this lady, she did not plan that day to be yelling in tongues. It just came out of her. She yielded to something, and she just yielded, and then it just came rushing out of her. And then I had to help her yield the other way. Okay, let's yield back to the flesh. You know, we're pretty good at that one. No, let's yield. Let's control this. All right, yeah. I sit back down. And it is amazing what can happen if you just begin to yield to God. It is amazing the things that you'll see. And like I said, it's so much bigger than you. And you'll get in these moments and it feels like you're back over here. And it's like, you know, this out-of-body thing where you just see yourself doing it. And it's like, what's going on? I know that sounds kind of a little weird, a little freaky. But there is, this is what I'm saying all that to say. There is a force of righteousness that is working in this earth. And you are the one who makes the decision whether or not you're going to yield to it. It is a force. It's like, I can't really kind of wrap my mind about what exactly it is. All I know that when God said to Jesus, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," it was like this force in the earth. And it just came down from heaven, bam, a force. And that force never left. When God said it that day to Jesus, He said it to us forever. To anyone who would call on Jesus, "This is my beloved daughter. This is my beloved son. This is my beloved child in whom I'm well pleased." And you can choose to believe those words and yield to that force, or you can yield to the voice of the evil one, the accuser, the voice of condemnation that says you'll never be good enough, you'll never make it, God's not got good things for you, God's given up on you, He's forgotten about you, it's not for you. That is the voice of condemnation. And I got to tell you something, all of us in here hear that voice pretty regularly. Is it just me? And if we're being honest, it picks at us all day. And it's just trying to get in there. And if you yield to it for a second, you can just get so far away from God, and you're not actually getting far away from God, but in your mind, you're far away from God. Well, God can never love me. God can never be pleased with me, this and this, because you just believe the lie. And I just tell you today, don't believe the lie. Don't let the devil lie to you. Don't let condemnation get in this. Slap it down. Slap it down. Those lies that are coming your way, that condemnation that tries to get in you. And man, here's something the devil does. He'll use your friends, he'll use your family, he'll use those around you. And they'll just say something in passing. Oh, but you take it, oh, that's the gospel truth. No, you gotta slap that crap down. I say that with all sincerity. Because we believe the lie, and then we become the lie. Whatever you believe, that's what you're going to end up becoming. Whatever you give your attention to, that's what you'll become. And so I just challenge you, whenever you hear that voice, say, "No, that's not who I am. I'm a beloved child of God, and today I yield to God's righteousness." Now, it takes discipline. That's why Paul said to Timothy, be diligent, because it is all the time. And it comes, I'll give you the times that it comes. It comes when you're angry. It comes when you're hungry. It comes when you're angry or you're hangry. It comes when you're lonely. That's a big time, guys, when you're lonely. So just be careful. That's why it's good to have a body of believers. It's okay to call people up on the phone and say, you know, I feel, you know, can you just talk to me? I need someone to talk to. Because if you're lonely, those thoughts are coming and you're on your own. I know from going off to ORU, I had a roommate, and Ferran, a lot of you guys have met him. Well, right before the end of the semester, he moved to a different room to be a chaplain. And so life got a lot tougher when Ferran left my room. And I didn't think it would be, you know, that difficult. I'm thinking, yeah, you know, I'm pretty independent. I can survive on my own. But I've always, my whole life, slept in the same room as somebody else. I grew up, me and Grayson always share the same room, and then Ferran. And so now I'm going to bed by, you know, nobody else in the room every night. And now we would think that's not really a big deal. Hopefully to be an adult, you can, you know, do this and function, right? But man, that loneliness, just that little bit, the devil worked with that. You know what I mean? Just use that loneliness. And he began to condemn me, and I had to, somewhere in there, man, I had to fight it off. I had to realize there's a force of righteousness that we find it in this word, and I got to slap down all that crap with the truth. Because the second I start believing the lie, I get off from God's plan. The second I start believing the lie, I become useless to you guys. The second I start believing the lie, I forget who I am. I'm a double-minded man, and I cannot stand in any of my ways. And so life, it just hits me, and I don't know what to do, and it's just hitting me. And this hurts right now. It's hitting me, and it's hitting me. But I can't fight back because this is who I am, and this stuff, yeah, this is the truth. This is the truth. This is the truth. That's what you believe. Just being real with you. And so I say all that to say this. Today, wherever you're at, my goodness, you can get something out of this message. Hopefully you can. The devil's mean, guys, and we see it in the world, but, you know, we see these isolated attacks and this and that. But the devil's just mean on a day-to-day basis, and he lies to you over and over. And I got to tell you something. You don't have to believe that crap. You don't have to believe those lies. You can slap it down. I'm giving you permission today, as someone who's read this word, that you don't have to believe all that stuff, that it's lies. Bryn, it's lies, man. That you can make the decision to believe the truth and to believe what God says about you. And man, if you can just muster a little bit to believe what he says about you, God can work with that. Just a little. I know there's a lot in here that doesn't make sense. I know there's a lot of things that are just out there. I'm just telling you just to believe a little. Just to believe this, that God is pleased with you, and that's enough. And you say, well, yeah, the cross. Jesus, that's why I died. That's why I did the whole thing. God pours out his anger on Jesus so he's not angry at us. God pours out his displeasure on Jesus so he could be pleased with us. That's why the whole thing happened. And now, if you can just believe today that he's pleased with me, yield to that force in your life, you'll begin to do good. All the stuff you've always dreamed of will begin to happen. You'll begin to minister to people. It'll come out of you, overflowing out of you, like this lady. That's what you might look like. And I know that might scare you a little bit, but I tell you something, that lady had an exciting day. And I don't know about you, it's an exciting life to yield to the force of righteousness. Here's what I want to do. I just want to help you guys yield. And it's something I've learned, and, you know, I've learned being here at Good News Church. But just learning how do I yield to this force, because I've said this over and over. I want you to see today it's very simple. And it's not knowing a bunch of scripture. And a lot of us have been taught we have to name it and claim stuff. And it's not necessarily that, though. And it's not necessarily about worship music and having the lights and the fog. It's not necessarily having a 30-minute devotion every morning. These are all good things. It's not even necessarily coming to church, because you can come to church and still not yield to God. So what is it? It's a place in you. It's from you. It's your innermost being that you just take a deep breath and you just say, God, I believe that you're pleased with me, and I just trust that that's true. And I like to help people take deep breaths, because what happens when you're taking a deep breath, it's just like, man, all the pressure of the world, God's got me. He's my Father. He's pleased with me. Speaking in tongues is something we do to yield to righteousness. That's when you're quiet in your mind, you're quiet in all those doubts and all that condemnation. You're just saying no to that, and you just speak out in other tongues. And I know tongues is weird to people. But man, if you just knew what it did for you, it wouldn't be that weird, man. It would be your best friend. And once again, there's nothing magical about tongues, but simply what you're doing is you're saying, God, I'm yielding to you. And it brings such peace. Righteousness produces two things in your life, and this is in Isaiah 32. You can read this. It produces peace and confidence. I think we could all use more of that. That's the fruit of it. Peace. God's pleased with me. I don't have to please any of y'all or please him. I'm at peace. Confidence. He's got my back. I'm not going to fall, so I can get up here and make a fool of myself. Confidence. Peace. Confidence. So if I just yield to this force, peace, confidence, and it's very simple, like I said. I just like to help people take deep breaths. We'll speak in tongues. I know that sounds silly in like yoga or something, but man, they got onto something in yoga. And they found that force of righteousness. That's what they didn't know. No, but you yield to it, then you speak in tongues, and then we praise God. It says in the scriptures that they would lift up their voice and magnify God. What you're doing is you're making God big. He's so much, he's bigger than these problems, he's bigger than this world, he's bigger than me. And I just thank him that he loves me. He chooses to love me, he chooses to see me for who he's made me to be, that he sent Christ for me. And you just magnify God. But you have to, why we have people open their mouth and speak out is because that's how you yield. I don't know if you can really yield in your mind. Because there's that other voice going on. That's why you open up your mouth. That's why we sing songs. That's why, you know, some people move and get in stuff. At some point, you have to yield yourself. You have to submit. That's why they came and bowed down to Jesus. They were yielding. They're literally, their physical bodies, they're yielding to that force. So if you, I don't know, for me, I like to sing. I like to laugh. I like to take deep breaths. I like to pray in tongues. That's how I've learned to yield to this force. But it might not be exactly the same for you. Some of us in here can sing really well. And so, you know, I can't sing as well. So I'm not going to get up in front of you guys and teach you to yield to righteousness by singing. But if singing's your thing, you can sing. Whatever it is, if moving around is your thing, don't get too crazy to freak us out. But if moving around's your thing, move around. You have to yield somehow. You got to give God something to work with. Now, I know this is scary. We don't like this. But it's you. You're the one in control. Just like that lady. She was very much in control, but she yielded. You are the one who yields, so you can control it. And you can stop it, and you can start it. So tomorrow morning, you can wake up and pray in tongues. Tomorrow, you can wake up and sing songs to God. Tomorrow morning, you can wake up and magnify God. You're the one who does it. It's not just God, all right? Now you're speaking in tongues, now you're doing this and doing that. I know sometimes we've thought it's that way, but it's really not. You yield. You make the decision. And so today, what I'm going to do, I got a few minutes here. I can't really see the clock, but yeah, we got a few minutes. Here's what we're going to do. If you need healing in your body, if stuff's going on in your relationships, if stuff's going on in your mind, I think there's people who have been tormented in their mind. If that's been going on, that's got to stop today. If maybe you felt condemned, maybe you just want to be a minister. And this stuff we've talked about today, you can do that too. Today, you just yield to the force of righteousness. And I'm going to be up here yielding. I'm going to have my friends, Lindsay and Coleman, come up. And if you need any prayer, if you need prayer for anything, for healing, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, any of this stuff, come up and talk to them. But we're just going to take a second right here and yield to God. All right? And it's going to be uncomfortable only if you make it uncomfortable. It's only going to be awkward if you think it's awkward. Because it's not awkward for me. I've gotten beyond that, all right? I've seen too many people scream in tongues. It's just not awkward anymore, you know? And so, you don't have to scream in tongues. That's not the standard. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this. Whatever you need to do to yield to God, please just do it. We're begging you, do it. We're begging you to yield to God. Because when you yield to God, it's going to change a lot of things. Amen? So yeah, y'all come up. Y'all put on some spiritual music.